Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Shaq!
All right, thank you, Daniel N. Zetterman, J.R. Strauss, Jeff Meller. Hoodie and I back at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And our crosstalk, oh, by the way, thanks Dan Wiederer and Jesse Rogers. And PointsBet Sportsbook is opening on Thursday.
Yeah, baby.
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne officially opens Thursday.
How about
Closest
it?
Closest sportsbook to downtown Chicago. Over 60 HD TVs. In-person betting counter with dedicated high-denomination wager concierge.
Oof.
26, that's where Carm goes.
That's right.
26 self-service kiosks.
Wow.
Bet-and-go lobby, reserved VIP lounge. When I hear the high-denomination dedicated wager concierge, I imagine you in Ocean's 11.
That's it.
Walking in with Mikhail and Vladimir.
That's right, yes.
And you're in a suit coming down.
I've got emeralds.
Bags of emeralds.
The house safe is for grandma's brandy and pearls.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he tells him?
Yeah. Pearls and grandma's brandy.
He needs something a little bit stronger.
It's the Stoichki counter.
That's the Stoichki counter. The blue ones, baby.
It's the high wagering area. $50 or more per wager.
I can't wait to get to
looking for
the new PointsBet book at Hawthorne. I cannot wait to see it. They're doing like an unveil today, I think. Aren't they?
Is it they today? Are. It's coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Going to be awesome. I want to bet Lord Byron.
Lord Byron.
What movie?
That is hot to trot.
I want to bet Lord Byron. He was being arrested right at the window. Lord Byron unseated his rider. He goes, Lord Byron unseated his rider, and I did not bet him. He knew it was going to be his day. Trotter. The great Richard Dreyfuss. What a horse racing
That's
movie.
A great
So
movie.
Twice Check in the out. Last six seasons, we've hit big winners in the World
big
Series.
Big winners.
The Giants in 14, the Nationals last year at better than 20-1. Our team this year? The Cincinnati Reds. Tommy's Reds.
Woo! Tommy's Reds.
28-1.
28-1.
Yeah. Although 50? I don't feel nearly as good about it as I did last year with the Nats.
But 50 brings us 14-50.
Yes. Right.
I like that. I told Randy his little guy's in for a 10% cut because he kind of came up with the study and the science behind it. First, to maybe suggest it. We went with the team. I say you got to dupe the kid. You know,
we started thinking of it because the pitching is what made us love the Nationals last year, and we're going with the pitching again this year. Although I like that Nationals team and that pitching a lot better than I like these Reds.
Yeah, of course.
But hey, it'll keep it interesting, right, Hoodie?
Yeah, I mean, that's a Carm and Yurko.
Hoodie's back in the studio.
Welcome back, Hoodie. Welcome back, Cappy, too, after the big run.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've been here the entire time.
Well, yes, that's true. Yeah.
So, you guys have no reason.
No, I've been back here physically.
He's been here physically.
I've been here the whole time.
Your aura.
The people on Twitch are going, wait, no, he wasn't.
One day it sounded like you were in a submarine at the Science and Industry, the museum.
In the coal ride. Remember you go down in the elevator?
How's the parakeet? Is it dead yet? The canary.
They still do that. I love that. Right?
I've been here the whole time.
And then they had the U-boat.
They got the U-boat, yeah.
Is that still there, too?
U-571.
Our Reds bet's going to lose when the White Sox win the World Series, baby.
And a World Championship.
Here they come.
Get ready, baby.
The great Bruce Levine as one player saunters into the room.
See, now why don't we have that sound anymore? How does something that priceless get lost to the ether? I mean, how does it happen?
I mean, there's a number of things that are lost in the system. I don't know why. I mean, what about our interview with Lisa Lampanelli?
Yes, where is it?
That's a great interview, guys.
Gone. Well, we could never even air it. Hoodie and I had to tape it because we knew.
Oh, you knew what direction it was going.
Not only did we pre-tape it, we still couldn't air it.
It was just one long beep.
I mean,
Hoodie told her as we started, hey, listen, this is terrestrial radio here. She goes, I'll be okay. We couldn't play it taped.
I mean,
it was so raunchy.
It was 15 minutes of Italian and black jokes.
That's the entire time.
Well,
Lisa loves the brothers.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable.
It was unreal. We couldn't even play it on the air.
Because we knew, we can't have this lie. It's Lisa Lampanelli.
If you've seen her at all, you know exactly where she's going.
Hilarious. Unbelievable.
What is it now, honey? Is it DeFalco? Oh, Italian. And you? Oh, Hood?
Oh,
you sound like a brother. Okay, I got it, guys. I got it. Here we go.
It was
every every slur, every joke.
Don Rickles on steroids.
It was just like unbelievable. Exactly. And then, of course, we go across the street at the Chicago Theater to see her.
It was great. She was in love with Hoodie. Hoodie was sitting on the aisle. We were like five rows in. She spotted him, and that was it, man. She had a field day. And yeah, like, where is that stuff? How does it get lost? The Bruce Levine celebratory jubilation of the White Sox winning the ALCS. Oh, no, ALCS. That was the ALCS in Anaheim. And setting the scene on the radio. Here they come, here they come, here they come. How could it get lost? Danny, how does that get lost? How does it? Who erased that?
Carm, I don't have an answer. We blame the system.
Well, here's what happens. There's only so much memory back there. You know, you got to call JDS Uniphase, or you've got to call some sort of Oracle and get them in there, bringing their machines in, so it could save everything you have and you can access it.
We need the cloud. Everything's on the cloud.
At some point, they said, let's not invest more money and more memory. Let's just wipe the memory, and we've got what we've got.
It's terrible.
I should have had it on a cassette. Or something,
right? That's what we need.
Yeah, that's what I should have had. Like, you know, an old cassette. Of course, we play back in the cassette, everyone sounds like Mickey Mouse.
That's true. We got to back it up on something, though, from now on. That sound is too priceless to let die. I wish we had it.
How many cassettes you got at the crib?
A lot. Jeez. But I threw some out. I was cleaning out the garage back in the pandemic shutdown, and I'm like, I got 4,000 cassettes here. I'm never going to use them.
Oh,
toss them.
Christ.
My last day over at the other station, I just got a suitcase filled. I just took everything and
right into a suitcase
and rolled out of there.
Throw it in a closet somewhere.
Yeah,
leave birds flying, or did you leave like a gentleman?
Oh, I left like a gentleman.
Like a gentleman? You didn't go birds flying?
No. What am I?
Did you ever think at one point you were going to go back to that address?
No.
With the people?
No.
Yeah, but you never.
No. I'm just talking about, for me, I was done.
Yeah.
By the time you get to August of 2005, I was done.
Yeah, you've
And
had
two
it.
Weeks later, I'm working with you. If That's you remember, right. my first shift
That's right.
was with you and the AVN Awards. So,
that's January.
before the 05 playoffs,
right? The two things happened: the electronic show out in Vegas, and then the AVN Awards come right there the week after.
Yeah, so so great. So there you go. So I wish you know, someone can be able to take those tapes and convert them, because you know nostalgia works.
Yeah,
it's got to be some gems on there, right?
Yeah. Oh, I have some amazing.
There's got to be, dude.
Stuff with Waddle.
Oh, man. It's got to be tons.
It's got to be good, though.
Did Waddle have the thick really Southern good. Accent?
Yeah, that's a good question.
He did not.
He already kicked it by then?
He had already kicked it.
Well, I think when he started the media thing.
Sometimes those guys are fast, but I was just a bit faster today.
He went to Cincinnati. He went to Cincinnati in 94.
Play that again, JR. Play Tommy Waddle with a Southern accent.
Well, you know, sometimes them boys, they were on fast, too.
I ran faster today.
I'm like, that can't be Waddle, can it?
That was a lot of Covington, Kentucky there.
That's Wam Toddle. That can't be Tom Waddle. Who is that? That's a lot of Kentucky. You ever had a
best last time I ain't going to
say it.
No, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Careful.
Colonel, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Oh, Colonel Angus?
Colonel Angus.
That's
the Christopher Walken's character in Saturday Night Live.
That was Waddle all of a sudden. On the ride back from Canton, Yurko did Colonel Angus for 90 straight minutes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Jeff Meller.
I'm used to it because I've traveled with him a lot. Like, I know what to expect. Meller was not prepared mentally.
Right.
And he sat
Carmen
in the
was
back.
Driving, so I had to keep him awake in the setting sun. Straight down Route 30 out of Canton.
We took Route 30 the whole way. And Yurko for literally for maybe 2 hours.
Who was going in?
Who was? It was Win Urlacher. It was 2 years ago. And Yurko for maybe 2 hours did not say a word that wasn't in the Colonel Angus accent. Everything. He's describing the setting sun, the rolling storm that was coming in, the cars on the side of the road. And Yurko got out of the car at his house, and Meller goes, Jesus Christ, I thought he'd never shut the fuck up. He goes, I can't believe it. Meller was, he was so miserable. He did 2 straight hours of Colonel Angus. It was unbelievable.
By the way, I was curious, Coach Orgeron's here today. You guys struggled over the weekend.
Well, we struggled a little bit. We're going to get down. I wish we still had Joe Burrow, but I tell you what, our guys was loaded a little bit. by that coronavirus, but we're all going to get stronger. You know why? We ate Gator over the weekend. I had my mama's Gator recipe. We took Gator balls and Gator feet and Gator lips, and we're going to let it have up. And then that coronavirus, I'm going to kick some ass this weekend.
Gator balls.
Gator balls. You never had them Gator balls. You never had them Gator balls. The perfect elixir for that coronavirus. You eat them Gator balls.
All
you're
Gators?
Good to go.
All Gators have Gator balls?
All Gators, even the females, have Gator balls. Yes. Sick them. Grew Tigers.
Oh, thank you very much, right. Coach O. Yeah.
I can't do that for 2 hours, though. He did Colonel Angus for 2 hours.
Oh, my God. There's a storm rolling in on the horizon.
On the horizon. Not much unlike Sherman's march to the sea.
It was unreal.
So great.
2 hours. Try a 6-hour car ride with the good kid.
Hey, listen. Nobody was going to fall asleep on my watch.
There's no way.
No way in H. We were all staying awake that specific day.
Oh, Lordy. Good Lord. By the way, you know who was at the finish line last night? Who? My guy was there. Mike was there. My wife and one of my dogs, Sylvie and Mason.
I heard Sylvie was there.
It
Sylvie
was so great.
That nice. Is good.
Couldn't trust a little Bronc.
No, they don't bring him out Bronc. There. Are you kidding me?
Boy. Braxton?
Yeah, we call him Bronco.
I call him Buck and Bronco. Buck and two little psychopaths.
Well, Mason's not. Are you kidding? Mason's the sweetest.
Mason's amazing.
Bronco's got, Braxy's, he's got some energy, man. Boy, he's, they can't take their eye off him.
That's a good thing.
He's out playing in traffic. He don't care. He's like Bam Bam.
I went over there to his house because we're neighbors. I pull in the driveway and there's this kid come out from behind covered in mud. And Allie said, it's a blank
show. He's Bam Bam, I'm telling you.
Well, listen, kids.
He'll pick you up to shake your hand and he bangs you up and down.
Kids love mud. Go to the beach, we love sand. We like to make things in the sand.
So which one is going to be the talk show host?
Mason.
No doubt.
It's not going to be
Braxton will be.
I think so. I think
Braxton will be like a repo man or something.
Yeah,
you know? Like
Cousin Boris will hire him.
Cousin Bobo, yeah.
Cousin Boris will hire him.
He's...
I think Braxton could be a talk show host.
He's no fear.
When he gets older, he's just like, Robin, my father. My father was a talk show host in Chicago. It's unbelievable. He was! It was unbelievable. Mark. He was... My father, 30 years. Mark. It's unbelievable, this guy. He just took over the Chicago Airways.
He's got that deep voice.
He would just have Caps walk and then take me. I mean, it's unbelievable. He wouldn't take me.
I'm telling you.
There's no way. How does he not take me? It's Caps walk, how doesn't take me? It still haunts me today.
It still haunts me to this day.
To this day. It's just unbelievable.
He's going to be like the guy for Red Bull that jumped out of the spaceship and came down to Earth. Like, he's going to...
A little daredevil.
Yeah, he's going to be like a daredevil.
Maybe like a young Travis Pastrana car.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Motorcycle rider, race car driver, a little bit of everything.
He's a young Evel Knievel. That's what he is.
It's the Braxton Show. Robin's with me.
It's the Braxton Show.
It's just unbelievable.
Show.
Ellen DeGeneres.
The best is that Robin's with him.
So great.
Ellen DeGeneres sits down with us here on the couch. Ellen, how are you?
Ellen.
Let me tell you about my dad, Mark, okay? He does not take me to the catwalk. It still haunts me to this day.
He leaves me behind.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, he takes my brother.
But he takes my brother. It's just unbelievable. I mean, how does he do that? Robin.
Mason gets the rebel.
How does he do that, Braxton? I don't know. Robin, shut up. that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. There will be the conversation about the cap.
We'll both end up on the air. Yeah, you start thinking, like, when your kids are little, what are they going to be when they grow up? I mean, they're too little to really know, but...
But not this business, huh?
I don't know. I don't want my kids to go into business. You crazy? No chance.
What do you want them to become? Insurance adjusters?
Not insurance adjusters, but...
Well, at least that's a honest business.
If I had to guess what my son's going to be... It would be...
Insurance?
If I'm guessing now at age 8 and a half, I'm guessing marine biologist. I don't know if he's got
the... Is that a titleist?
I don't know if he's got the ability to sit through enough school to be the bio... To understand the biology part. I could see my son, swimming with sharks someday. He's got a little... He got a little crazy in him, and he's got this infatuation with sharks and animals and...
Send him to San Diego,
kid. I could see that, yeah. And he loves to fish.
San Diego or Florida, the Keys.
I say, go be
Carmel.
An adventure fisherman, for crying out loud,
Nothing wrong with that.
I could see my son doing something like that
ones,
someday.
Man.
Yeah, go catch the big
we
ones.
We listened to you Chase on the monsters, walk yesterday, baby. By the way.
Who, me and Yurko?
Early on, guys.
Yeah. It got hard at the end.
Well, listen, that's a good thing. You don't need any pills or anything
that's
like that.
That's true.
So
yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you. The last 4 miles.
Oh, you mean it became more difficult?
No?
You mean it became more difficult?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about a personal issue, which is
fatigue
wonderful.
Fatigue started to set in?
Yes.
Yeah.
fatigue started to set in.
Well, the 25th mile. Is that where the bear jumped on your back?
Yeah, and a little chafing and the knee. Yeah.
Was it Anthony Adams?
I don't like the chafing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not a bad bear to have on your back. He's lost a lot of weight, you know?
Man, he's the best. I love Spice.
You saw Porter and you saw Coach Fitz along the way.
And Jim Phillips.
Jim Phillips was there.
Yep, all of them. Good crew.
Great scenic. And then you went through some neighborhoods I saw in the video, too.
Oh, my God.
In the neighborhood. Not a nice neighborhood.
We went through past some houses.
Oh, come on. Robinson's
by the Baha'i Temple. Oh, my goodness.
It's a nice area.
Hey, it's
crazy. Anything less than $200,000 houses you went by?
Oh no.
Anything for your brother here?
No,
find a nice spot?
No shot.
Why can't I live over there? Why can't I have a nice soup? Why can't I have a nice sea bass?
At Abigail's.
So why can't I do that?
If I ever did a walk from my house or a bike ride from my house, I'd be going through some very interesting stuff.
One of these days we'll do that. Yurko wants to do the wave runners across the lake.
Yeah. Listen, I think this is a great idea for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's got to be a day that you can predict the low winds. That way the Lake Michigan is not rolling with three to five footers because that's
no
a nightmare.
No chop.
Yeah, you got to have no chop. It's got to be mild. And then Carm and I take off from New Buffalo. Hell bent for election on these things. Now, the lake at its widest point. Anybody here? Anybody?
At its widest point.
Lake Michigan.
Anywhere along the lake?
Anywhere along the lake. The widest point from shore to shore going east to west.
70 miles.
No, it's about 42 miles.
I was going to say maybe 50 miles.
You can go on those things on a calm day where you ain't got that chop 45 miles an hour. You'd be there in less than an hour, Carb. Yeah. You ever rode a wave runner for an hour?
Yeah, no, an hour?
I'm
sure.
All day I rode them.
That's true.
Tooling around the lake, you know, being Mr. Big Shot. Yeah, that's fine. It's perfect. We should do that and raise money for charity.
All right.
Carmen's concerned. He thinks we'll take a physical beating. I can swim like a fish.
Well, I can too.
If I can't swim like a fish, I can float.
That's a tough.
I am very buoyant.
That's tough chop to swim in. I've swam in that chop.
You can't.
It's not
listen,
easy.
No. Carm, if there's a chop, I can't. We ain't doing it.
There's always chop out there.
Nah, not all the time. The lake lays down. I'm a duck hunter. I've been out on Lake Michigan when there hasn't been anything.
The lake lays down.
Not often, but the lake does lay down.
In the fall? Carmen's going to get like 26 miles out in there and go, oh, God.
I know.
No, we gotta do it in the summer.
You gotta do it in the summer when the weather's warmer. Yeah, do it in July.
I think it'd be a ball.
I can just set up. I don't know if you guys have ever done this. We could just get horses and have you race over at a track.
Oh, good idea.
We'll do it for charity.
I'll pass.
Carm will do it for the Sons of Italy.
Sons of Italy.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, the Sons of Italy.
I will not.
I used to play baseball with them.
I will.
As a kid, the Knights of Columbus.
Hold on a second.
On Chicago's home for sports.
There's a shit at the stick.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Here's Randy Merker with more. Randy?
Jonathan, thank you.
Is it baseball news or
COVID football. Uh-oh. Per Diana Rossini, Sunday's game between the Steelers and Titans is being postponed for multiple sources. They are considering all options to reschedule. Monday night is one of them. This will also be based on test results.
Oh, so this Monday could be one of them.
Yeah, Schefter tweeted that last night, but this is officially it's been postponed for multiple sources.
Okay.
For Sunday.
Too bad they don't just postpone Broncos Jets for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that?
Yeah, both of these teams are stricken with COVID for the rest of the year. Right, goodbye.
You don't want to bet on it. You don't want to watch it.
Come on.
Giants, you can go too. Jets, lock on notes.
That's garbage tomorrow night.
You should at some point just start axing the schedule, you know? You do not qualify.
Well, I think they're trying to have enough points to move on. I'll give them this. I'll give the NFL this. They had the foresight to kind of predict and say, let's put these games early on. Let's put the Broncos and the Jets in week four. Get it over with, for crying out loud.
Yeah, nobody's got to
see them. Jeez.
We got the Cub game on.
Cub game's on at 1 o'clock?
At 1 o'clock.
We got the Cubs game today right at 1 here. And Boog Shambi did White Sox yesterday.
Yeah.
He's calling the Cubs game today. He's going
to
join us.
What time?
Boog's at 10:30, right? Yeah, Boog's coming up in about 10 minutes.
Does Carmen DeFalco have a play on today's game?
I had the White Sox yesterday just because they were facing a lefty.
Congratulations.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Alcantara does well against the Cubs today. I'll just say that. His profile.
Play the under.
The under's probably a good play today. His profile, the way he pitches against the Cubs' struggles as an offense, especially how much they
swung
and missed this year. Well, he's got five pitches. I mean, Alcantara, he's like Yu Darvish. He can throw them all. I mean, he's got everything. He can throw.
He's got a splitter?
He's got a four-seamer. He's got a sinker. He's got a splitter.
Screwball?
He throws it all. I don't think he throws a screwball.
Palm ball?
But his profile, I think, might have a chance to stand up against the Cubs. And the under's probably a good play.
I would play the Cubs today.
Probably a good play.
Jonathan, 8 pitches.
Yes.
I would tell you, play the Cubs today.
All right.
Catcher had to take his mitt off to give me signals.
Yeah.
Yurk Darvish.
Johnny, 8 pitch.
Okay.
Catcher literally had to drop the mitt. Yurko.
It's a little Donnie Lamont.
All right, kid. We are out of here. Guys, have a great show.
All right, see you tomorrow.
How do you see you in the morning, kid?
See you in the morning. Carmen Yurko.
Bump, 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 bump. Our next. See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Eight baseball games today, Yurko. Eight playoff baseball games today, including... The White Sox with a chance to knock out the A's and the Cubs starting their series against the Marlins. And we will carry that game live. We had the White Sox on our air yesterday. At 1 o'clock today, you will hear Boog Sciambi on the call. Won't be at Wrigley. Wouldn't that be something? He called the White Sox yesterday. Think he was in Oakland? Uh-uh. Nobody can go anywhere because of COVID. But Boog did the White Sox yesterday. He'll be on the call for the Cubs and the Marlins game one coming up at 1 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. And he is going to join us about 8 minutes from now after calling the Sox as he prepares to call the Cubs today. The White Sox with a great start to the postseason. The White Sox doing what they do against left-handed starting pitching, getting out to an early lead, taking the teeth away from that Oakland team. The scariest thing about the A's is that bullpen. It is the best in baseball. If you are behind, good luck to you. But if you get out to a lead, you take the teeth away a little bit. That's exactly what they did. And the White Sox remain undefeated this year against left-handed starters. 1-0 now in the postseason.
And you needed Giolito to be Giolito, and guess what he was?
He was Giolito.
He was wonderful Giolito. He is the best type of Giolito you want. You got him. This is where you need him in the playoffs. Now you go to a little more of a question mark as you start to move forward.
Although Dallas Keuchel had a fine year, and he's got a big game experience.
A little bit. Up a little bit, maybe not 100%. That's your area of concern as you start moving forward for the White Sox, is it not?
Yeah, a little bit. Chris Bassitt was also the pitcher of the month in September in the American League, and he will toe the rubber for the A's today.
In a five-game series, you might see Giolito a second time. You're not going to see...
No.
Anybody a second time in a three-game series. So,
that's very true.
You know, you are going to have to rely on other starters who aren't your stud.
Knock them out today, because tomorrow it starts getting into a question of what do you do? Do you try to do an opener, and do you do a bullpen day? Do you dare turn it over to Cease with all his struggles in the last couple of starts?
Thank you.
Is Dunning ready for it? Dallas
so
Keuchel,
you need it today. You need it today. You want it over today.
Dallas Keuchel's got big game experience. He's a small underdog today, about plus 110, plus 115 against Bassitt. But he's got big game experience. And, you know, I feel pretty good. I mean, especially the way they swung the bats yesterday. It was better. They do what they do. They hit home runs, and they kill lefties. They kill fastballs. Jose Abreu did it again. I mean, he's had a 60-game stretch that's got to be the best of his career. I mean, as good as Jose's been, there's no way he ever had a 60-game stretch like this, is there? 61 games now. It's incredible. The kind of season he's had. You got a couple of hits out of Angle. I mean, White Sox fans have been clamoring for more Adam Angle, more Adam Angle. You got him in the lineup yesterday with Aloy still a little bit banged up, and he delivered with a couple hits in the first home run of the game. So they did exactly what they do. They hit home runs. They win 4-1 thanks to the home run ball and thanks to a brilliant start from Lucas Giolito. Did you know there's just been 5 pitchers to ever take a perfect game into the 7th inning in postseason history? I was a little surprised at that. I mean,
Don Larson is one of them.
Don Larson's one of them, Yurk. You're right. He's the only guy to ever complete the deal, too, right? I mean, he's the only one to ever do it.
Right.
1956, does that sound right?
Sure.
October 8th, 1956.
I think you might be right, Kerr.
The last guy to do it before yesterday, it had been 16 years. Mike Mussina in 04 was the last guy to ever take a perfecto into the 7th. Inning. It was great stuff from Lucas Giolito. Some people thought maybe Ricky Renteria went to him, went to the well maybe one time too often. He looked like he was kind of gassed there in the 8th. I also don't think it was crazy that Ricky left him in to face Jake Lamb, the lefty, because I think he knew the bottom third of that order was coming up, and it's righty, righty, righty in Oakland's lineup at the bottom, in the bottom third. And you know, you got to stay with, you bring in a reliever, you know, he's got to face three guys, Yurk. And that's where he turned it over to Evan Marshall. And Evan Marshall allowed one guy to get on, and then Aaron Bummer came in and got the final big out of the eighth inning. I don't think Ricky handled it all too poorly, actually, yesterday. I've been very critical of Ricky Renteria. I won't be too much yesterday.
Yeah, 100 pitches for your guy Giolito.
100 pitches.
And, yeah, listen, you're going to have to rely on somebody to be able to come in there and get some key outs when you're going to need them. So your guys aren't going nine complete innings.
No, those days are done.
Whether you like it or not. And in the playoffs, people like to micromanage, though.
Yes.
I don't know if Renteria is capable of doing any micromanaging, but they like to micromanage here. First sign of trouble, get an important guy in here to come get some outs for you.
Saw Bob Melvin do it yesterday. Yeah. What, three and a third for Lizardo, right? That's it. Three runs on the board.
Right, and it's not happening. We got to go
out. And they did get a great turn out of there, but their bullpen's phenomenal. Again, you don't want to be behind in the sixth inning against them because that's when you're in trouble. But their lineup, especially without Chapman, doesn't have all that much thunder in it. And if you can get out to a lead, you take away the thing that makes the A's the most dangerous, and hopefully they do it again.
And if there's any solace whatsoever for the the other side of town, is Tommy La Stella did break up the perfect game.
He did. Yeah. Tommy La Stella, what a year.
You know what? Former Cub caused a little bit of damage.
I'm going to give you guys a pop quiz.
Broke the confidence just a smidge.
Which player led baseball this year, all of baseball, with the lowest K rate? Which hitter led baseball with the lowest strike rate?
Madrigal.
Madrigal was at about 6%, and there was a player better than him.
One player better than him.
There might have been two, actually. They're both former Cubs.
Was it La Stella?
Tommy La Stella was numero uno, about 5%. You know who number two was? DJ LeMahieu. J.R. Strauss, ding, ding. You got it. Did you say that, Merck, or was that?
No, that was J.R.
That was J.R. That's what I thought. J.R., nice
job. The Cubs hated him.
DJ LeMahieu and Tommy La Stella was the hardest guy to strike out in the bigs this
year.
That's
why the Cubs hated him, got rid of those guys.
Yeah, you don't
strike out enough. You guys make too much contact.
What are you doing?
Is Ian Stewart still in baseball? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Ooh, Ian Stewart, boy, that ship sailed a long time ago.
If I could turn back time.
That was the DJ LeMahieu trade, right? Yeah, that one hurt. Okay, when we come back, Boog Shambi will join us. Jesse Rogers a little bit later with a scene setter. Let's find out what the wind is doing. Somebody on Twitter said wind's blowing out today. Pretty good. Could be an over, not an under, even with Alcantara and Hendricks on the bump. We're going to set the scene with Jesse about an hour from now. Boog Shambi will be on the call for Cubs Marlins today. He called the White Sox game yesterday on radio. We'll talk to him next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The Marlins have to be the most unlikely story to this point of 2020, right? The COVID outbreak, they're supposed to stink. They won 31 games, they're in the playoffs. In the playoffs for the first time since 03. What happened in 03?
Would you forget? Do you need to be reminded?
I don't need to be reminded. I'm being a smartass. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Saddest days in a Cub fan history.
Yeah.
Two games in a row. It was sad.
I wonder if they're going to play that highlight today, or is it so far in the past it no longer matters? I mean, the Cubs have their World Series. You know,
They do.
They don't still show the Buckner highlight when you're playing Boston Red Sox games. I mean, they've won, what, four of them? What if they won?
Listen, you still see the Buckner.
Not really.
Low light. The Buckner low light. You still see it. You'll see it out there.
Boog Shambi did the radio call for White Sox yesterday. He's going to do the TV call today on ABC 7 here locally. We're going to have the game on our air starting at 1. So Greeny will be truncated, and so will Waddle and Sylvie today. We've got Cubs baseball for you. He joins us now on the Corona Hotline. Boog Shambi's with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Is part of the plan to show Bartman highlights? It's too long ago, right, Boog?
Hey, first of all, don't ask me a leading question there. We could show it. We could show it. I'd also like to add, by the way, I called that game in 03. I was a Marlins broadcaster.
Come on. Is that right?
Well,
I don't think I knew that.
So, I was there, and the person sitting behind me cheering on the Marlins was Len Casper, because he was the TV voice of the Marlins.
TV voice. That, I remember that Len was part of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that you were on that broadcast team. I mean, the famous
that
one we all remember is Schulman's call, obviously, doing the national call. I mean, can you close your eyes and still remember everything about what it was like being in the building for that play in that moment?
So I didn't have that inning like the Marlins do a traditional play-by-play role with two play-by-play guys, and I didn't have that inning. David Horn had the call, but I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I'd also say my reaction, because I wasn't watching on TV, my reaction was really still more about the Alex Gonzalez error.
Hmm.
So calling the game on radio, it was not as much about Bartman as it was, wow, that guy's a really good defender, and they probably could have turned two, at least gotten one, and Alex Gonzalez just booted that.
It's pretty crazy that they've been in the postseason twice and they've never lost a series, isn't it? I mean, it's just baseball's hard to explain, and that's a perfect example.
And they've you know, that year in 2003, they started the year 19-29, I'm pretty sure. They fired their manager. And they just had some wacky, weird stuff happen during the season. It was a really talented team that didn't play great that year. And then in 97, I was there as well for that. And they just kind of put it together at the right time. Look, to bring us to today's game, I will tell you guys this. I know for Cubs fans it's been a frustrating year. However, the postseason legitimately is the reset button. And they have good hitters, the Cubs do, who haven't hit. And if I told you that Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo were all going to hit in these playoffs, I don't think you can sit there and say that'd be impossible or I'd be shocked. These guys do have a history of hitting. So I think that they're an interesting and dangerous team.
It's been a while since they've all fired at once, I guess, but you're right. I think when you say they've got it in them, I mean, they do, because they do have a history of it. Boog Shambi's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Before we get into some more nuts and bolts, and you called the White Sox yesterday, I just want to know from a broadcaster's perspective or just from kind of what it's like with your day-to-day duties in a normal time. You know, you get great access and you're talking to people and personnel and players before the game. I mean, to get some insights, Boog, like how hard has this been, especially preparing for playoff games when, you know, you're – where are you calling these games? You in a studio in Bristol? Is that where you guys are?
I am. So I've done a handful of radio games from my apartment, but I've called every TV game I've done this year, which is maybe 20 – and the bulk of my radio games from a studio in Bristol. Today I will sit like where they do NFL Countdown. I'll sit in a 2,000-square-foot studio alone.
Wow.
With giant monitors. Look, let me be clear. I dislike this for the viewer because we're not giving them the best possible product. That's my opinion. It's not good enough. There's going to be a play today where we can't see stuff. You know, like I had a play in a Dodger-Padre game where Betts got run back to third and Machado went to tag him and the play ended and the ump wasn't in the shot. So I didn't know what the call was. Oh. But if I'm at the ballpark, you guys wouldn't even notice it. I would say safe and you wouldn't even recognize that, like, you didn't see the ump call him safe. You just know that I can see the ump calling him safe and we move on and blah, blah. But I can't see it, so then I have to hesitate, and so it's hard. Selfishly, my two cents, not that you – I'm not asking you to care, but I'm still telling you, yeah, it's hard for me personally. I've been doing this stuff a long time. I like going in the Cubs clubhouse. I like connecting with guys, getting the information, getting the stories, humanizing the players. I like getting the chance to see Don Mattingly. I want to see Theo Epstein. I want to be able to connect and walk through the crowd and be at that ballpark. So selfishly – I would say there's an emotional part of it that really has been a bummer this year. But I also want to do the best possible job. And today, we'll do the best we can. It's also hard. You know, my partner, Chipper Jones does a really good job on TV. This first year, though, when he's sitting in his house. There's just an element of it when, you know, it's difficult that in that little bit to be totally connected. So, look, we'll do the best we can. I mean, I know how it works. You know, you guys have phenomenal broadcasters on both TV and radio. I know how it works. I know the fans would rather hear Lennon JD call the game. We'll do a good job today. We will. But it's challenging. I wish I was at Wrigley because I'll tell you this. If I was at Wrigley today, I mean, it's one of, if not my favorite place to call a game. I've called a ton of games there. And That place jam-packed in the playoffs is a blast. There would be nothing but excitement for me. Today, yeah, I'm excited, and I feel like we're going to deliver a good broadcast, but there is some trepidation over, what might happen that I can't control.
Yeah, with all the positive tests that you had early with Miami and with St. Louis, how remarkable is it that baseball has gotten to where it's gotten to?
Amazing. I wasn't... If you had asked me at the beginning of the year to put a bet on, do you make it through the season, especially in light of what the way that I would have said no. I would have bet against it. And the fact that both the Cardinals and the Marlins, the Cardinals made the playoffs. They played 11 doubleheaders, guys.
It's crazy.
The Marlins played 7, and they still got in. Now, not that this is relevant. If you ask me my best guess, and we played 162, do I think the Marlins would have had the staying power to get in? No.
No.
Do I think the Cardinals would have the staying power to get in? No. I think it eventually would have just sapped them. But here we are. This is where we are.
Did you think Ricky Renteria was making a mistake sending Giolito back out yesterday into the eighth inning?
Not really. I think the part that I get a little confused by, though, is I think the part that's always weird to me, I guess it's, again, only they know. Here's what was just weird for me was he goes and sits in the dugout. We were talking about it. He had absolutely dominated. I know they have a good bullpen. But what I didn't understand was, he walked a guy and then he came out and talked to him. I didn't understand why that, what he was talking to him about. You just had 15 minutes in the dugout where you were sitting next to him, where it should be, okay, if a guy gets on, this is going to happen. If you mowed down this guy's, I'm giving you this much leash, that much whatever. He had just been there, and then he walked a guy, I think, on 4 pitches, and then he came out to talk to him. What hadn't you said to him in the previous 15 minutes that he was sitting next to you? That's what I didn't quite understand.
That's a good point. How dangerous do you think the White Sox can be in this postseason run?
Really dangerous, obviously. Look, whatever the heck you guys want to say, it's why the Cubs can be dangerous. But, look, I'm going to come on the air today, and I'm going to tell you, you guys are going to get tired of hearing me say this. But, look, you know how the Cubs are going to win? They're going to get good starting pitching. The bullpen's going to be good enough. They're going to catch it. And then here's the biggest thing. Somebody's going to hit a big homer.
Yeah.
I will be darn sure that the way this thing plays out today, somebody's going to hit a big homer. That's the way these series have gone. If you look at the postseason last year, if you look at teams that out-homered their opposition last year in the playoffs, won 27-6.
Wow.
The year that the Cubs won it all, teams in the postseason that out-homered their opponent went 26-1.
Hmm.
Wow. You got to hit it over the fence, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
That seems to
be it. It's too hard to string together hits.
And the Cubs have some guys that with the profile to do it. Like you said, Baez. Correct. Or Schwarber or Bryant could come up. Correct. And hit a big home run because they've done it in the past.
That's right.
Boog, we'll be watching. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the time as always.
You got it, fellas. My pleasure.
We'll see you. There he is, Boog Sciambi, who was on the call, on the radio call for the White Sox yesterday. He's going to do the TV call for the Cubs today, which will be on ABC, and you're going to get that game at 1 right here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox can win a playoff series for the first time in a long time. Last time the White Sox won a playoff series? 2005, when they won the World Series. Only one playoff appearance since, up until this year. That was 2008, and they lost in 4 games to Joe Maddon's Tampa Bay Rays, Yurko.
But you did have the John Danks blackout game that year.
You did have the John Danks blackout game, but that wasn't a postseason game.
Right, but it's one of the coolest things that probably ever has gone on at the guaranteed rate.
I'd agree with you there.
U.S. Cellular slash whatever they call
Comiskey
it now. Comiskey
slash U.S. Cellular
guaranteed
slash
down
guaranteed rate.
Yeah, guaranteed down rate.
Well, the ERA is going down.
That's, well, I see the arrow also pointing down.
It's a good thing, Yurko.
Yeah.
The arrow's pointing up on the rest of the team. It's just down on the pitching staff.
Hey, you guys know what today is the 8-year anniversary of?
Today
so
is
let's see.
The
this would have been 2012.
Yes. I'll give you a hint. We were all there.
We were all there September 30th
of 2012.
2012. We were all there. No, the Bears played in London in 2011. I don't know. Is it something locally?
Yes.
We were here?
Yes.
It was a Bears related?
No.
Baseball. Okay, baseball.
No, not baseball related
not
either.
Baseball. Bull. No. What would it have been? Oh, it's fine. I don't know.
Medina.
Medina, the right. Oh, today's the collapse.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Remember that? Yeah, that was ugly.
Because I happened to turn on the Golf Channel this morning. They're playing some with Ian Poulter and the comeback. And I'm like, why are they playing that? And then I was just looking. And
it was a bad Sunday.
I was in Jacksonville.
You were.
Ponte Vedra, actually. Ponte Vedra, Florida.
That was ugly.
We were playing golf down there at the beautiful
And today
TV
is also
sequence.
my mom's birthday. So happy birthday
happy
to Phyllis.
Happy birthday to your mom.
Good for God Phyllis. Bless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird seeing Masters commercials in September. You know,
I saw you tweet that.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. Like, the Masters coming up in just a matter of months.
November.
November, in six weeks.
It's going to be chilly.
Yeah, I would think.
I mean, I think they limit the amount of starters that they have anyway. Boy, you're going to have to fit that in a tight, tight schedule.
I know, and if weather's an issue.
I was on the golf course yesterday, and boy, at about 6 o'clock, it was... limited visibility, guys.
They get the benefit of being about, 800 miles to the south. Maybe not that much. How far south do you think they are from us here? I don't know.
No, that's about it.
About 800 miles, give or take.
Yeah.
That helps.
I'd say 800 for sure.
Helps a little bit, I guess. But, I think
November isn't when they usually open up the course, right?
Because it might be. They're closed for a big portion of the year. I do know that. Baseball playoffs are so weird. You know, they just are. White Sox can knock out the A's today. The Twins could get bounced, right? There's 8 baseball games today, guys. 8. It's like a tournament day. It's insane. I don't know how you track everything. 8 games.
It's not used to having the playoffs like this.
You go figure this. The Twins, you know, it's been a long time since the White Sox have won a playoff series.
Twins set a record.
It's been a long time since the Twins won a game. The Twins have now set a North American sports record, not just baseball. They have lost 17 straight playoff games. That almost seems impossible.
0-17, Carr.
17 straight. Their last win was October 5th, 2004, versus the Yankees in Game 1 of the LDS. Since their last World Series win in 91, the Minnesota Twins are 3-24 in the postseason. And yesterday, it seemed like they had it. Ball's hit to shortstop. Jorge Polanco is a force at second, and he throws it wide of the bag. Arraez had no chance, and the Astros finished off the rally. At some point, don't the Minnesota Twins have to win a playoff game? My God. Seemed like it was yesterday, but it wasn't. That's why the playoffs are so goofy.
You would think they'd have to win at some point. They got one chance. They got to win now. Backs against the wall.
No explaining the Florida Marlins having 2 postseason appearances in their career, in their franchise history. And they've never lost a series. How does that happen? Who was the manager in 2003?
Jack McKeon.
Yeah, but McKeon, who was the manager that got fired? Was it still Jim Leland back then?
No.
No, wasn't it Jeff Torborg?
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. I think you're right. Good call, Mark. I think it was Jeff Torborg. And he got fired, and Trader Jack came in and saved the day. Like,
did Leland go to Detroit?
Him.
Is that what happened?
He might have, actually.
But didn't Leland leave? Almost like the next year because they got rid of everyone.
They purged the whole team. He sold off the he wanted. Wayne that was Huizenga, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Wayne
yeah, Huizenga, he destroyed the whole team. He was it. He won his championship. He sold off the entire team. They went back into basically anonymity for a while.
You know, Jeff Lurie or so. Who's the guy that?
But back then Huizenga honed them. Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. You might be right. Eric Leland might have went on to Detroit. I think that whole crew left. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about the White Sox and how they're on the verge of advancing and winning a playoff series for the first time in a long time. What's the very latest on Aloy? We'll try to find that out as we wait for the lineup. The Cubs lineup is in. We'll give you that when we come back just after 11 o'clock here. We'll tell you what it looks like, what the wind is doing. Jesse Rogers is going to set the scene in about 30 from, he's not at Wrigley, is he? Nobody's allowed to go to Wrigley, but he'll set the scene anyway. We'll get a little preview of the game from Jesse Rogers.
Jesse's going to be on the sideline today.
He's doing ABC. Good for Jess. There's like 5 reporters that are allowed in there. Jesse's one of them. So he'll set the scene from Wrigley. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back in 2 minutes.